Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show. Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about stagnation of thought. In life, we experience different kinds of stagnations, and we'd like to understand where does it come from and what can we do about it. Be with us. Tal, please. Yeah, really. In different realms in life, we have this inclination to fixate ourselves on a certain way of thinking, maybe because previous generations thought this way, and there's simply this axiom in life that this is how it is, and we keep on going the same way, even if it's not that good for us. And maybe our brain builds different stereotypes in order to feel more convenient in life, and the big deficiency is that when we encounter new situations in life, we don't always know how to handle them. Maybe there are solutions, but we don't always look for them because we're in a kind of inertia. For example, as a mother, there are irrational situations like when I'm told that it's fine for your child to cry when he comes to kindergarten. This is how it is with kids. At first, they don't feel that great, and later it changes. Another example, my brother's teenage child is in bad company. So what is he told? This is how teenagers are. They all drink, get drunk. This is life. Teenagers behave poorly outdoors. Kids don't want to go to school. Families fight on holidays. This is how it is. So today we'd like to talk about the this is how it is. We'd like to understand, is there an alternative? Do we have to relate to things this way? Or maybe the wisdom of Kabbalah can offer a different perspective on reality. So first of all, what causes us to accept things as they are? Because this is how it is. It's simply convenient. I can't go and investigate different phenomena now. I can't change them easily. And altogether, it could be out of my reach. From one generation to the next, we remain with the same definitions as in the past, even though that they no longer work. Especially in our times, we take many definitions, many names, and use them out of inertia. The way we got used to things. These are Democrats, these are liberals, these are Republicans, these are those. We tag different people, nations, and so on. It's convenient this way. By this, we as if define everything, and everything's arranged. Leave me alone, I'm not gonna revise all these things now. Things are convenient as is, and that it's not good, then still, to what extent do I have to invest myself now and to fight myself and to fight others in order to re-examine everything and to especially change myself? And I already got used to these things. I already have built-in ties inside my mind, inside my thoughts, inside my innermost self as to how to respond and how to do and how to relate to each and everything. This is my world. Were I not to learn these things, and were I not to hear what to relate everything to, then I also won't be able to grasp such a grand and multifaceted world. Therefore, fixation or stagnation is something necessary. The only question is, once we discover the harm that it does in terms of society, family, personal harm, maybe even the way it harms the world, to what extent are we willing to get up and break it and change it to a new kind of fixation? Because this is how we are. It's like we have this inner program, like in a computer, and we always act according to formulas, different certain ways of how we relate to each other, and so on. Therefore, it's something necessary and something that we can't escape. These are standards, patterns, according to which we have to grasp reality. But what do you mean we have to? Have to, because otherwise we won't perceive it. We can't perceive, we can't grasp billions or even millions of details. But we have to put them in a special kind of connection between them, grade them by quality, by quantity, by size, by their relations. And if we don't do it, we won't have a picture of where we are and we'll be disoriented in life. Therefore, fixation or stagnation is something important. It helps us to more correctly find our way around in such a big world. What we see is that many times it causes us to compromise about different things in life, because this is how it is. Even if I feel bad about my child crying at kindergarten, then I don't do anything about it because everyone says that it's fine. When does the change come if we become so accustomed to what's convenient and we compromise all the time? This is on condition that most of the public is no longer willing to stand the previous stagnation and is willing to change it for some kind of a new definition or usually attitude. Why most of the public? Why so many people? Suppose now, in our world, the definition of what liberalism is, democracy. They're going through re-examination, criticism, and there are many struggles about this. Liberalism is not at all like what we see today. Democrats aren't what we're familiar with. In the past, there was a different definition. Gradually, all of our definitions, they get a kind of distortion through politics, economy, family life. We're changing all the time. Our ego is growing all the time. And therefore, whatever was right for 50 or 150 years ago, today, of course, we have to re-examine, yes or no. But there are people with interests that use the same definitions today because it's worthwhile for them. There's this well-known experiment where a group of scientists put five monkeys in a cage, and there is this ladder. If a monkey climbs it, it can take a banana. And every time a monkey climbed to take a banana, cold water was poured on all the monkeys. So the monkeys beat up any monkey that tried to take a banana until everyone knew that it's forbidden to climb the ladder. Now, the scientists, they brought in a new monkey that didn't know about the situation. Of course, it tried to climb, take a banana. The rest of the monkeys beat it up again and again until they replaced all the monkeys. And so all the monkeys knew that it's forbidden to climb and try and take a banana, but they didn't know why. So it's like in society that even if there was some kind of reason for a certain behavior, many generations later, we don't even remember why. Yeah, many stigmas, especially in religion, over a period of thousands of years. Right, that things were forbidden because of fear and so on. When you look at society, is our stagnation getting worse or maybe vice versa? We are in a very special transitional phase where we understand that all of our thoughts, limitations, what we bear with us, carry around for thousands of years, we're now re-examining them, revising them, and we have to change them. Mankind's looking for how to relate to life in a new, different way, to the world, to itself, but still can't find it. It only feels that there is a big gap and resistance between man and his ability to keep developing, and those handcuffs, shackles, stigmas, fixations, stagnations that are holding us back. Can you give an explicit example for these kinds of shackles? We want to break them, but we can't. We break the family institution. Why? Because we can't be in the same family as it used to be, the traditional kind of family, the way it used to be for thousands of years. But we see that today, because the world is so interconnected, so dynamic, so also frustrated, so impatient, that the family, that family cell maybe, can't keep inside it the changes that are going on. The husband, he goes out in different directions to study and work and do different things. And also, does the wife, they're really under very strong influence of cultures and education and everything. And all this, as if, does not suit the family cell. Maybe it does, but this is something that you have to teach, to give some kind of guidance. Psychologists have to work on it. And first of all, you have to work with the psychologists themselves, and so on. And besides the family, well, okay, kindergarten, let's leave that aside. It's too much. But school, to this day, school is the same way it was hundreds of years ago. The students are sitting, and the teacher tells them something. A person can't learn this way. It was good in order to teach a person how to read and write, some math, and to make some kind of a simple worker out of him in some factory, because he doesn't need it in order to work in the field. So this is what school was meant for. It was set up 200 years ago in order to take people from the village, take them through school, and not even little children, but grown-ups, and make workers out of them for factories, for the industry that was developing back then. And today a person, he doesn't learn that way. It's not a natural environment. It's not a natural place where a person learns about life. He has to learn about it differently, like in life. Why do we put him in some classroom and he has to sit and listen? A person doesn't learn from hearing. He doesn't. He learns from life, from experiences. Yeah, correct, from experiences. This is the right way. This is also fixation. Meaning, there are many things here. So the family, school. It's hard for us to talk about workplaces because there's no choice. They do make these kinds of changes. There are very big transformations in workplaces. You know, people start working from home, in big groups, smaller groups. There it's very close to profit or loss, so they're not afraid about making changes. Many things. Schools, prisons. We learn from life that prison doesn't correct a person. To the contrary, you come out of prison even more of a felon than you went in. So why do it? For them, you have to make some kind of a different place for their correction. So how do you explain that we're living with the same patterns that don't serve us for so many years? Everywhere. In the parliament, in the country, bureaucracy. I don't even want to start touching these things. All of us are living in frameworks that do not suit, completely do not suit our life in the modern world. I'd say for the past few hundreds of years, let's say from the Renaissance and on, we're dragging this with us. I want to ask a bit from a different angle about the life of an individual. Previously you said that stagnation of thought and our habits are like handcuffs that tie us to the past while we're supposed to advance. The world around us is changing, our minds changing, our brains changing, meaning by nature we're in a framework that's changing, and we've built some kind of compatibility with nature's previous framework, meaning between us and nature. And we don't want to change it. And this is a matter of education. How can we see it in the life of an individual? Up till now we talked about society, the family cell, prison, schools. Do you also see it in the life of an individual? Of course. How? I remember myself in my 20s, and when I heard that someone's getting divorced, everyone was talking about it, whispering, oh, they're divorced, they're getting divorced. This was really something very sad, exceptional, destroying the family. What? Today, people are getting divorced all the time, and even several times. So why is this framework still kept the way it is? Let's try and adapt it. Let's prepare men and women for a different kind of participation. It's necessary to teach them, educate them, prepare them for these new conditions. We're not doing that. We're not taking care of people whatsoever. We're just interested in burying them this way, and that's it. Why? Because the people and parliament and government, those running the country, they're thinking only about themselves. How can they control things? Can a person reach such a degree of development that every day he'll be like a new person, that he has no stagnations from the past? Every day is a new slate. Can a person reach this state? Yes. But for this, you have to organize a framework in which a person will all the time feel that he is in a flexible, developing framework, and that he is developing along with it, and that it forces him to develop. Previously you said that the change will happen if most of the public will want change. No. It's not a law. So what's the meaning here of a person who's in a framework, in a group, that he can't get out of the framework of the group? That's it. I'm being told how I have to behave, how I have to tie myself to different frameworks, and that I have to be in them. It can't be any other way, and this is how we accept everyone. We ourselves look at it in a way that we don't criticize ourselves, because our values, they're not ours. We've received them, and we don't know how to change, and we don't know that it's possible to change them, and we don't know that they're not suitable for today. I look at a person. I was brought up, say, 50 years ago, even more. And I look at people today. It's known that this is how elder people think. So I look at people with a 50-year delay. This is a problem. Today I'm 72 years old. So I got my impression from life 60 years ago, suppose. 60 years. In our times. And if I don't change, then, as if, what did I fall into? A completely new world. I see it through my eyes. I hear different things that I process through different scrutinies and criticism and I'm not living in a world that fits me, and I don't fit the world. unless I change, unless I work on myself? What allows a person to have this inner flexibility? Special kind of education. And to build a society that will always be entirely flexible and will necessitate in a way that it influences everyone who's a part of it, that they too have to change, so that they won't even feel that they're changing, but as if that this is how society will influence them, so they'll change from one day to the next, through radio, computers, media, cinema, through all of these things. So a person will really be under this kind of influence, but in a special way, not by those people that work in the media that only know how to... Yeah, we see the changes they made with smoking and so on. There were different campaigns that really changed people's behaviors. So who has to determine the kind of change we have to go through, the direction? There has to be a Sanhedrin, a group of sages that understand what the world needs and how to give it and in what way, and to build this kind of plan for the world, for countries, for nations, for groups. Only this way can it work. But until mankind will agree with this, until it will understand this, because it's confused, and those running the different countries and nations aren't interested because they don't understand what do they need it for. They just want to suck as much as they can from their status, from the situation. I want to summarize. In the beginning, you said that the stagnation of thought is a person's way to cope with reality. I can't learn about the world every day anew with all of its details. It's not that you can't. You weren't taught how to do it. That you can't, that's something else. That's already good. It means that you understand the problem. So you turn to experts or something. You're looking for a way out. But if you come with the same values like me, suppose, from 60 years ago, and now you're starting to determine how things should be in the modern world, how is that possible? Obviously. You use the word convenient. It's convenient for a person to be in stagnation of thought because this way he can perceive reality more conveniently. It's always going to be this way because we can't grasp the world with its millions of details. But we always want to minimize things, to decrease the number of variables. Right. And this is exactly my question. If so, if there's a certain convenience in preserving things as they were yesterday, then is it possible to divide a person's life into two areas where things are good and he keeps what he has now and keeps the stagnation, and another area where he doesn't want to keep what he has, there he has to reinvent himself every day, so to speak. Can we divide a person into these two areas? Look, to divide. Who knows how to divide? Who knows how to work with these things? There is if many theoretical methods, but until we succeed in reaching people and teaching them about the changing world, nothing good will happen. We'll always increasingly err, and from year to year, things are going to get harder. But what do we invent for ourselves then? Let's shut our eyes. Let's agree with what we have. Let's flow through life. Because this is how things are. Because this is how things are, like yesterday. And what happens, happens. If we die, we die. If we live, we live. This is actually today's education, and therefore no one thinks about tomorrow. For a person that can't hear anymore, this is how it is. What can you devise such a person? To change human society, a person's living in society, A person has to reach a state where all of society will change according to the new conditions that we live in by nature. All in all, nature is something internal and external. Externally wise, nature is ecology and so on. And our inner nature, where we're all the time changing in our perception of reality. We ourselves and so on. We have to see how do we change these parameters eventually to adapt, suit a person to society and to nature. So it's an educational process or education. It's not only that we acquire a new worldview. Education is that we're all the time ready to change, to be dynamic in our perception of reality. And we don't have to wait like now for things to really become bad. No. Otherwise, we reach very big crises, and only through suffering do we somehow change our attitude toward ourselves, nature, society. This is through wars, revolutions, really very critical states. And instead of that, instead of waiting for things to really be bad, through education, that we really change to the extent to which we understand and we learn, and then we can better understand man and the environment, humanity and the environment in general. And this is how we reach a world that is good, but also there too. We're all the time in a new kind of fixation, stagnation, but we know how to use it correctly. That we can't change integrally, but it'll always be in a discrete way, from state to state, state to state, from day to day. But every day we know that to some extent we change our perception of reality. Each day and its stagnation. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. All the best.